Hey, thank you. You guys may be seated. That is some good stuff. That is good. That song right there makes me feel so privileged, so secure, so to stand on the rock. The imagery there, the overwhelming flood. As Team Jesus, this is something we've been understanding, looking at in the book of Philippians. And that song right there just really has some good theology in it, has some good truth. To stand there in His righteousness, to stand before the throne, what? Faultless. I don't know about you, but in my story, that's huge. There's a lot of faults that have been washed away in the righteousness of Christ. Now, as Team Jesus, we've been going through the book of Philippians. And last week I talked about an overwhelming flood of darkness that is sweeping across our nation, our world. And the Bible has told us, the Bible has told us to stand fast. And even though this flood of darkness, of sin, of rebellion to God, of pride, of arrogance, of humanity, we are to stand fast. We are to stand there. So it was very clear from Scriptures last week. So today we want to continue in that line of thought. Same Scripture as last week, Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, with a sermon entitled, Why We Need to Stand Fast. Why do we need to do this? Philippians 4, verse 1, Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. We talked about what standing fast means. It's a military term. To hold your ground. Do not move. We're to stand fast in the person of Jesus Christ, who He is. He is God incarnate, who died upon the cross for us and resurrected from the dead. We're to stand fast in the power of the gospel. We're to stand fast in the Word of God. We're to stand fast as the church. Stand fast in our confession of Christ before the world. To stand fast in the hope that our Lord Jesus Christ has promised us. If we don't stand fast in this world for the gospel, for Christ, for the truth of God, then who will? If not us, who? And as I said, we described this flood of darkness sweeping across, and it's pulling the majority of the world. It's sweeping them away. They don't realize they're being swept away by this flood of darkness, of sin, but it's sweeping them right through life, right into the judgment of God, right into hell itself. And we are to stand fast against that flood, trying to help people come out of that flood, to come upon the rock that is higher than the flood, higher than sin, death. I got a little video here of lighthouses standing against the waves. And look at the waves hitting these lighthouses. Go ahead. After watching this video, I don't want to be a person who attends lighthouses. insane, isn't it? How many of you guys would like to be in one of those lighthouses during those things? Yeah, until it doesn't. It only takes one. But yeah, what beautiful imagery. Those suckers are strong. Good engineering, good craftsmanship, but still to stand against those waves gives you a picture. Go to this next slide. See that little person down there? That's a full-grown man. Standing. Look at the wave. That's crazy. Therefore, Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my beloved, long for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. In the overwhelming flood of darkness, we're to stand. And those waves may be big, the darkness may be big, the enemy may be big. He's walking around like a lion waiting to devour. But we can stand strong in Christ because we stand upon the rock. He is our God who formed everything. Why are we called to stand as the church? Because of this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come upon the planet. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, prideful, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. Sounds British, doesn't it? Pride is one thing. Haughty is taking pride to the next level of superior arrogance. Thinking you're better than everybody else. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You see, today, people hate God. They hate the Bible. They may not admit it, but they do. They call evil good and good evil. Everything the Bible says people will be like towards the end. They even hate hearing the truth. They don't want to hear it from somebody else who believes it. Watch this next video.
What matters tonight is where you stand before God.
Shut up!
Before it's too late.
Shut it!
We can all be saved tonight. And I pray that you turn and repent before it's too late. Turn from your sin. What is sin? Well, God gave His commandments so that we can see our sin.
Stop talking! No one listen!
And see, because of our sin, that we need to turn to God.
My host said, be quiet.
We need to turn to God before it's too late, just like the rich man. The rich man didn't turn to God, and it was too late for him when he stood before God in heaven.
He wants to hear you.
And in hell, he lifts up his eyes. Don't think that your own good works will get you to heaven. Nothing will get us to heaven but Jesus Christ.
You know, for those that have gone out street witnessing or street preaching, and I did for a couple of years back in the day, and you're used to people heckling you, and it's adults. I've never been heckled by a child. But that's where we are today. Even the children despise what is good. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And if you've been in our men's study, we've been dealing with this on Tuesday nights, but also our Sunday nights. The days of Noah keep getting brought up in our Sunday night study as well. And what was it like in the days of Noah? Well, Genesis 6:5 tells us, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There's other descriptions of violence, sexual immorality, very much like what we would see today, we are seeing today. People out of control, no self-control anymore. Whatever goes, You know, it got so bad that God said, that's it, I'm going to destroy. I'm going to judge because he has the right to do so. I'm going to judge the world with a flood. So Noah built the ark. And Matthew 24 tells us, verse 38, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So important we understand the days of Noah. So we need to so understand why this story has been so mocked and maligned in human history. Called to be a fairy tale, called to be ridiculous, a worldwide flood. Though we can prove it scientifically. If you've been through my apologetics course, we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt the world was covered in water. There's more evidence for the flood than most people realize. But it's still been so maligned and mocked because the enemy doesn't want people to be aware. He made them unaware in Noah's day where they were just caught up in the cares of this world. And he wants them that way again, and they are. And sadly to say, even in churches, churches are going along not even realizing what is coming. There's another judgment coming. God said he would never destroy the earth with a flood. He never said he wouldn't judge the world again. Just not with a flood. And he gave a symbol to humanity that he would never flood the earth again. What symbol was that? Well, my guy already punched the button. Got ahead of me there, Levi. They weren't going to know that without your help. All right, fine. Rainbow. Genesis 9:13. I set my rainbow. Whose rainbow? God's rainbow. You see, when you study the pre-flood world, and there's lots of scientific evidence, again, in my apologetics course, we talk about the pre-flood world. And again, the apologetics course is coming up soon, so encouragement to come out. We look at all the scientific evidence of what the pre-flood world looked like. Oh, there's tons of it. Amazing. But in the pre-flood world, there was no rain. The Bible talks about basically a watering system, a sprinkler system, natural from the earth that watered everything. There was no rain. And we know rain is, the rainbows are the result of light through the drops of water. But after the flood, there was rain. And God put it into the scientific law to split the light, the prism, and give us the rainbow. It's a symbol that God will never destroy the world again by flood. But it's also a symbol that he did destroy the world with a flood. And if he judged the world one time for sin and he says, I'm going to judge it again, we better believe it, especially when the evidence backs up a worldwide flood. But you see, here's the problem. People don't care anymore. They're so arrogant. They're so full of themselves. They're so prideful. They're so haughty. They don't need God. Or they think they can redefine God. This month is called Pride Month. They took his symbol. How arrogant is that? It's like they're shaking their fists at God. He destroys the world because of sin, gives a symbol that he won't do it again by flood, and they take that symbol and they align it to sin. The rainbow used to be a Christian symbol. I always had it with Noah's Ark. But now if you see a rainbow, if you ask kids what a rainbow is all about, it's pride. It's sin. What does God say about pride? Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride comes before the fall, right? A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name, scoffs at God, scoffs at the Word of God. He acts with arrogant pride. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. So there's where you got a choice in this world. Excuse me. A man, woman can have pride. You can be humble. Let me show you what human arrogance and pride does. Next slide, Levi. World Economic Forum calls for AI to rewrite Bible. Create religions that are actually correct. Next slide, Levi. Top officials at the World Economic Forum have called for religious scriptures to be rewritten by artificial intelligence to create a globalized new Bible. Yuval Noah Harari, the senior advisor to the World Economic Forum, to Klaus Schwab. His middle name is Noah. This is a man who's a Jew from Israel, who hates God, hates the Bible. He's an atheist. And he is out to make the world in their own image, shaking his fist at God, and his middle name is Noah. I find that ironic. They want to fix the faith, to correct it. They want to create equity and inclusivism. Remember that word. Do they hate the Bible and what it says? And they want to rewrite it. That's pride. That's arrogance. Because the Bible that we have in our hands is from the ultimate intelligence. The supreme intelligence. God Himself. 2 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 1 verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns. The morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Yes, man wrote this, but he did not author this. And again, in our apologetics course, we can show and prove that this is beyond the creation of man, that this truly is a supernatural book that only God can author. People attack it. They think it's wrong. This is a Harari guy thinks this is, I would challenge him to come to my course and refute the evidence I give and can show how the Bible is authored by God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man, woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Hebrews chapter 4 says this, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul, spirit, and the joints of and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the human heart, which can be quite evil. But they hate the word of God. They hate God. Listen to how prideful they become here. Go.
God is dead, according to the World Economic Forum, who have also declared that Jesus is fake news and that WEF leaders have acquired divine powers to rule over humanity. According to the WEF, a new one-world religion has arrived and it unites all of humanity in worshipping at the altar of climate science, techno-communism, and eugenics. If you find it hard to believe Klaus Schwab's WEF would go this far, you clearly haven't been paying attention to developments in recent times. Klaus Schwab's right-hand man, Yuval Noah Harari, has announced that the WEF has been so successful in its plans that it's acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. The blasphemy doesn't stop there. Harari also promises that the WEF will turn humans into gods.
Developing even bigger powers than ever before, we are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. We are really upgrading humans into gods, We are requiring for the power to re-engineer life.
The WEF is also increasingly hostile to Christianity and other major religions. If you read between the lines just a little, it's clear that the WEF is consciously attempting to supplant Jesus.
I mean, all this story about Jesus rising from the dead and being the Son of God, this is fake news. Humans are now hackable animals.
We don't need to wait for Jesus Christ to come back to Earth in order to overcome them. A couple of geeks in a laboratory can do it.
You see what's listed underneath that symbol? The last days of death. These guys actually think, through science, humanity can overcome death. We can actually get to the point where we never die. And this is elites. This is in the Trump organization. This is in the Bush family. These are elites all over the world that believe this and are supporting this movement. Next slide, Levi. These two guys trying to make humanity and humans to be gods. Gee, where have we heard that before? Genesis 3:5 in the old King James Version. You shall be as gods. Same lie. Humanity's still trying to buy it. Next slide. There we go. If you've been attending our Sunday night service, we've been delving into these in depth. It's crazy what they've done. This agenda they're doing is not going away. It's just going to continue. These are the two guys, gentlemen, whatever you want to call them, that I spoke about several weeks ago in the sermon that YouTube banned. Remember that sermon? God's plan. The counterfeit plan. Levi, you got to stay with me, son. The counterfeit plan and the fool's plan. A biblical view on what is going on. This is the one they yanked off of YouTube. Remember in it, we looked at God's plan. Next slide, Levi. God's plan, our relationship with Him. That's what He designed the world to do. But Satan came along, deceived humanity, got us on a different... Nope, go back. Satan's plan got us off track. It's going to lead to judgment and hellfire. But there the church... There's the church standing fast, or supposed to be standing fast, directing people back into relationship with God. The whole world's on that flood, right to judgment into hell, but there we stand because Christ took a stand for us. He came and He died in our place. And so we stand there. Now, next slide, Levi. Satan's plan has been told to us in Scripture. We went through this in that sermon, Revelation chapter 13, a one-world government. It's coming. We see it developing. But the global elites who Satan is using to bring about their own power is just really actually fulfilling Satan's plan. Some of them may know it, some of them, most of them probably don't. They call it the Great Reset, Agenda 2030. We went on into this all through the sermon. How they're going to use political changes, social changes, fear, and Marxism to bring about this one world government, this new world order. We showed you in that thing about COVID-19, the Great Reset, how Klaus Schwab brought this book out a few months after the pandemic hit. But he said he wrote this COVID-19, the Great Reset, because of COVID-19? You can tell when you get into this book, this plan has been around for a while. It's too in-depth, too detailed for him to just come up with it within a few months of COVID-19. I showed you the plan. Next slide. This is kind of a rough draft or blueprint of their plan. It's immense. It's deep. It's huge. I zoomed in on some of the characters for you. What did I just highlight there? Part of their global plan is to undermine traditional values, especially Western values, but definitely Christian values, biblical values. to destroy it, to destroy families, the foundation of all society, so they can destroy society, so they can control societies. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's there in His book. You can order it on Amazon. And part of destroying society is bringing in the depravity of the LGBTQ. And all sexual sin, whether it's from the LGBTQ to the adulterous spouse to the fornicating young person, all sex outside of the way God designed it is evil and destroys. But this LGBT movement, why it's being pushed, the Pride Month, Pride, boom, it's because it's part of the agenda. And even though Americans may be pushing back on it somewhat, as we saw with the Dodger Stadium this weekend, this agenda is not going away. Not this agenda, not the WEF's agenda. I'm going to speak one more sermon on this next week. It's not going away. It's destroying traditional values, and that's what it's meant to do. It's a war on children, making our children sexual beings, just as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Not just did the men come out for sexual perversion, it says the boys did too, boys meaning children. Societies will corrupt their kids, turn them into sexual beings. It's a war on children. It's a war on family, traditional family that God instituted. Marriage between a man and a woman, having children, father, mother. It's a war on the gospel. You don't need Jesus Christ. It's fake news. It's a war on God's Word. Hey, let's have AI rewrite it. It's not a war just on children, family, the gospel of God's Word. It's actually a bigger war on God Himself. That's who they're making war with. Because it's the enemy behind them that's manipulating the thing, the prince of this world. Satan is real. He hates God. And it's his war, and he's using humanity as pawns. And a lot of people are falling for it. It's exactly what the Bible has told us is going to happen towards the end. That humanity, following the footsteps of Satan, are going to make war on God. They're going to cast him away. Psalms chapter 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Against the Lord and against his anointed, meaning Jesus Christ, his son, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. We're not going to listen to them any longer. Oh, we're not going to do what he says. We're going to redefine everything. We're going to be our own gods. We're going to redefine what gender is, what sex is, what marriage is, what love is. We're going to redefine God Himself. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. That's what humanity says. Let's make a war on God. How does God respond? He sits in the heavens. He shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. They're going to try it. It's not going to work. But even with those people who are trapped in this, who are trying to do this, who are trapped in the flood and the confusion and the darkness that this movement, this agenda is happening, even with people who have rejected God, maybe hated Him, even that little girl who was screaming, Jesus, blah, 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 blah. This is our God. This is how good our God is. Acts 17. Truly, These times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men, all women everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. By the man whom He has ordained, He has given assurance of this by raising Him from the dead. Jesus Christ, the resurrection, proves that God is going to judge the world. But God is giving humanity time to repent. Isn't that amazing? And He's willing to overlook the ignorance, the sin, the self-righteousness, the pride, the haughtiness. He's willing to overlook it and forgive it all if people will just repent. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous is every human being who's not found in Christ. Because Christ, as we sang in the song, His righteousness. If you're not in Christ, you have no righteousness. We have none of our own righteousness. All we have is unrighteousness as humans. We've all fallen short. We've all failed. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, heaven? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicator, those who sleep around outside of marriage, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, those who sleep around when they're married, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Pride Month. Many churches are celebrating it. And I'm going to try to keep my cool here. But it makes me so angry. They are hating them. What? If they're celebrating pride, how can they be hating the people who are in that movement? Because God says those people, if they remain in their sin, just like an adulterer, just like a fornicator, they will be judged and they will go to hell. They are in the flood. And the church is supposed to be standing there saying, come out. And churches are telling them, it's okay. God is okay with your sin. If He's okay with sin, why did Jesus have to die for sin? Who loves the homosexual more? The person who's willing to take their hate, take their persecution so they hear the truth? Or some progressive church, some corrupt, false church, some compromising Christians who don't want to be hated so they lie about what God actually says? Oh, God's okay with your sin. I'm willing, and I know most of you are, I pray, hope all of you are, you're willing to stand and take the hate, to stand fast, so that the homosexual, the transgender, the queer, all of them that's in that can hear the truth. Because look at how beautiful the truth is. And yeah, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God if they remain in their sin, but look what it says in verse 11, and such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And such were some of you. But you found grace. You found forgiveness. And God, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Where the ignorance reigned, God can forgive. And He can restore. And He can clean what has become defiled and impure. No matter how bad you've been. No matter how defiled you have become. God can wash you. He is faithful and just to do so to all those who put their faith in Him. And not just wash. The word is purify. How long has it been since you were pure? God can put you back to there. He can forgive all. We love the homosexuals, the transgenders, the fornicators, the adulterers. And we love them too much not to tell them the truth. There's a judgment coming. God judged the world once. He's going to do it again. The signs are all around us. It's coming. Turn from your sin. Repent. God has commanded it because He does not want to judge you. Because He is a God of love. He loves you so much He died for you. Second Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, patient towards us, not willing that any should perish in the judgment, but that all should come to repentance. He's so good. He's so good. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my beloved, and long for, brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Come on up, team. To truly love our Lord and Savior, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. To truly love Jesus is to stand fast. Not just in this church, but in our families, our workplaces, school, wherever you may be. And in love, share the truth. Oh, you're going to be hated and despised by some. You might lose friends, maybe even family members. But to truly love God as we're commanded to do. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The second greatest is to love your neighbor. How can you say you're loving your neighbor when you're not sharing the truth with that neighbor? The truth that there's a judgment coming. And they better be ready. From most of the people in Noah's day, they were just going on with life and the flood came and took them away. Jesus says it'll be like that in the last days again. I know we love our Lord, but we have to step out more. We have to engage. We got to stand fast. And it's not standing fast to be quiet. It's not just setting a good example for others to see. They have to hear. How will they believe in what they have not heard? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Church, God has pruned us down. He has taken this church from a condition spiritually of a dead church to a body of believers who want to hear the Word of God, which I'm thankful for, and who want to be His church. And we're a good core group that now He can rebuild on. But it's going to take all of us, and it's going to take all of us sharing, speaking, standing fast, loving our Jesus, loving Him enough to share Him. Fathers, loving Him enough to stand for Him in your families, in your marriage, with your children. Stand fast, church. Stand fast. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask you to help us understand this. Lord, there are so many signs. When you study it, when you seek it, there are so many signs in your scripture that are happening around us. People are moving to push you completely out of the picture. They're moving to set up their world government, their world order. Exactly what the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation. Lord, we are so close. Everything your Bible has warned us about, we see happening. We don't have a lot of time left to stand fast, to help people come out of that flood of darkness, of sin. And Lord, you want to pull them out. You want to clean them. You want to wash them and purify them and make them as white as snow in your eyes. And Lord, that's what you called us to be a part of, the Great Commission to share the truth. Lord, I ask you to help us understand that. There is no more time to wait. There is no more time to be caught up in the cares of this life and dealing with things that just don't really matter. We are to be trying to share the truth with everybody and anybody we can. I ask you to help us to see the urgency to reach our family members, our friends, neighbors, and to share with them about our Heavenly Father, who is so good. So good. Lord, I ask you to help us to do that. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's sing this last song, will we? Join me, please.
I was a wandering soul, traveling a well-worn road, a sinner so far from home, no second chance inside. I heard you call my name, I felt you lift my shame, and I made a vow that day that I'd spend the rest my life loving my Jesus, showing my scars, telling my story of how mercy can reach you where you are. And I pray the whole world hears the cry of my tries to make you right, whispers that same old lie, keep all your pain inside, cause no one will understand. The last thing this lost world needs is someone I'm trying to be, true death.
is your legacy? Do people know you for that, for sharing Christ? If it's not, I'm not here to make you feel guilty, but I'm here to tell you that's what it needs to be. Holy Spirit can get you there. But you got to start worrying more about the things of God, the things that are above, than things below. The whole world is on its way to hell. That's not politically correct anymore, but it's the truth. It's the reality. You know people one day who are going to stand in judgment and go to hell. Did you try to do anything? Did you try? It's time to start trying. It's time to start sharing. It's time to stand fast in the faith. Don't get caught up in the cares of this life. Realize what's most important, and it's human beings. It's people. Let us share Jesus Christ, the gospel. All right, Team Jesus. Thank you for letting me go over a few minutes. Enjoy the rest of your day. Yeah. Be with your Father if you can. And let's use this week to start standing fast. Let's start being salt and light. Let's take up our cross, stand fast, strive together with love, one accord, and one mind. Amen? All right, let's break out here on count of three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.